Chapter 8, Business Pillar 1, Your Growth Stage. The heaviness of being successful was replaced by the lightness of being a beginner again. It freed me to enter one of the most creative periods of my life. Steve Jobs. What the last chapter lacked in brevity, this chapter will make up for in spades. There are, in essence, only three growth stages which concern us here, and they were mentioned in the overview of this section: early struggle, fun, and whitewater. If you've hit predictable success, or you're on your way there, this book won't offer much help in the way of scaling up your business. We're much more concerned here with what it takes to get your business launched and running smoothly. Specifically, we're looking at the 3 to 5 years that most businesses spend in early struggle, and how those years break down in terms of business development. Then we'll quickly skim through fun, because, well, it's fun, and then give you the dirty deeds about whitewater, which can be a hellish predicament for decades if you're not prepared for it. By the end of the chapter, you'll have clarity on how to navigate any and all of these stages and be able to confidently decide whether scaling up into predictable success is the right choice for you. It's totally acceptable to not scale up if that's not your goal. Not everyone wants to have a global or international following. Not everyone wants to have their name as top billing on some marquee in a big city. In fact, most creatives I've worked with are quite content to be well known in their circle of influence and earn a living that replaces or moderately exceeds whatever income they made working for the man at their day job. To that end, let's take a closer look at what the three stages of growth look and feel like so that you can clearly see where you're at and what you need to transition to the next stage of healthy growth. Each of these sub-stages is based on my own experience as an entrepreneur and with the decades I've spent helping other creative entrepreneurs in their own businesses. None of them is a hard rule, but more of a guideline of averages. You may move more or less quickly through each of these sub-stages, but be assured that you can't move ahead until you've checked off each sub-stage in order. Year 0 to 1, offer clarity. This year can find most creatives flailing about, unless they've been thrown into a hungry market that's ready to buy. Don't let the timeline fool you here. I've had clients who had been in business for years that were firmly in year 0 to 1 because they didn't have a product or market clarity and had bounced from idea to idea for years, never sticking to any one thing. While linears will have no difficulty staying the course in the early substages, the first year can be a tremendous problem for fusions because they want to keep flexing their muscles on all the things they're good at. As a result, they may have a handful of things that have sold, but nothing sold well enough for them to stay the course. Chaotics experience this too when they operate from a fear-based mindset. When a chaotic is afraid that what they've done isn't good enough or isn't generating results fast enough or that they should be doing more, that's when the proverbial spaghetti throwing party begins. The singular objective for your first year is to develop and test offers to find what works. Not what sells like hotcakes, but what people actually express an interest in buying. In that respect, there's a bit of trial and error, but it's calculated based on the conditions we've previously discussed. You're doing work you love and serving people in a way that works for them and yourself, the I Matter paradigm. Why do we start with offer clarity rather than market clarity? Two reasons. First, most creatives are already conjuring something from their own inspiration. They feel called or compelled to bring something into the world and may not have a clue where to begin with marketing this thing. They may not know who the right audience is for what they're creating, but they know they've got to create it. So we start with what we have. Second, oftentimes the audience may find other reasons for wanting what you're creating, which by extension points to market clarity. George Gershwin, for example, couldn't have known that Summertime from the musical Porgy and Bess would become one of the most covered songs of all time, some 26,000 times. He was just setting a lyric to music and hoping to use it as a recurring theme for his opera. Gershwin's attempt to meet the needs of a particular market in the 1930s opened the door to an entirely different market as the song endured through the generations as a jazz standard. This is where a lot of creatives get antsy and give up just as they're getting started, and what leaves many creatives stuck in this early phase for most of their career. They have high hopes for their offering and get deflated when their results don't match their expectations. If a client comes to me looking to double their revenue in a year, the first thing I'm going to look at is whether or not they've got an offer that sells. Only after that will I consider their market. That's because they may not even be targeting the right audience for their offer, but if they're bringing in revenue, that indicates interest and a potential demand. How many offers should you develop? That depends, but more than four in a given year would tend to suggest spaghetti throwing. More likely, you'll find one thing and spend the year tweaking elements of it until it garners interest. This is an ongoing cycle. Create, share, tweak, share, etc. I call these income projects. An income project takes about 3 months to complete, from idea to postmortem. And in that time, you'll test and launch an idea, gather feedback, and tweak the offer for the next iteration. Ideally, two or three of your income projects in a year are just variations on the initial one. Though, some ambitious fusion creatives might try to do a different income project every quarter. I don't recommend doing more than two different projects in year one because there are too many variables you can't account for because the business is still too new. We'll talk more about income projects in Act 3. Again, your mileage may vary, but if you focus your effort in your first year to develop an offer that sells, then your second year can be focused on audience growth and market clarity. Year 1 to 2, market clarity. The second year is typically where a business begins to get momentum and feel some financial stability. That's because the hard part of finding an offer that sells is out of the way, and now you can focus on reaching more of the right people with your offer. This is where things get boring for fusions, frustrating for chaotics, and mechanical for linears. After beating the same drum for a year or so, fusions won't find the routine very exciting. They'll be itching to branch out before their audience is ready to diffuse their focus. I've been there more times than I care to count. Restless about the direction of my coaching practice, I branched out to work with mompreneurs. I thought it was a natural extension of the work I was already doing since so many of the direct sellers in my audience were also moms working from home. But I didn't have enough traction with my existing audience, and the pivot caused a lot of confusion for everyone. People who were thinking about working with me decided that my new direction wasn't in alignment with their goals, so they rescinded offers. I didn't have enough authority in my new market, so people weren't willing to quote-unquote take a chance on me. The net result was a shrinking list and abysmal income to match. Don't be that guy. For chaotics, this is a time when your patience is being tested. You've got to start building the basic systems for growth and monitoring them. You'll want to move faster than you are, and you'll feel stifled or held back from the level of success you see others around you having. You'll ask yourself, if they can do it, what's wrong with me? In a word, nothing. You just need to be patient and keep showing up in your current market. This is the year of developing trust. And while you'll want to speed ahead and launch a flashy new website or a newfangled offer, the best thing you can do is cultivate what you're already working on. Think of it like growing a biennial. These plants take two growing seasons to give us their glory. In the first year, they're laying down roots and foliage to nourish themselves over winter. They're storing up energy for the big reveal in year two, when we get to see their showy blooms and fragrant aromas. It's not until the end of the second year that we really get the full effect of their awesomeness. Linears, on the other hand, are quite content just to follow the steps. Find something that sells, then find more people to buy it, and don't move on until you do. Year two becomes pretty mechanical and methodical for linears. Tweaking and testing becomes a game to them, and often this is when a linear hits their stride. Don't be surprised if a linear moves more rapidly through years 0 through 2 than the other types. That's because the ability to monofocus is critical at this stage of business growth. Year 2 to 3, income stability. These are not the years for fancy branding or flashy websites, even if branding and websites are your great work. This is not the time to plow thousands of dollars into visual content or hiring copywriters and content creators. Instead, buckle down and maximize what you've been doing in years 0 to 2. I know chaotics right now are chomping at the bit to quote-unquote up-level everything, and while it's tempting to do so, it's still a bit premature. You've got an offer that sells, and you've started to tap a market that wants to buy it, but do you have a profitable, sustainable market yet? Probably not. Until then, as Les McKeown reminds us, everything else is superfluous. The singular goal of early struggle is to get out of early struggle as fast as possible, and the only way to do that is by finding a profitable and sustainable market. Year 2 to 3 is where that happens. Yep, you've just invested 2 years of your life in a single direction, and only now will it start to actually feel like it's paying off. You planted the seeds, and things have started breaking through the surface for a while now. But here, in the third year of staying the course, does all that early legwork pay off in visible tangible ways. People start to recognize you and call you by name. Influencers in your arena may even begin following or commenting on your work. Other people are recognizing the traction you've created and the audience you've been building. And to put it bluntly, they want a piece of your action. Fusions at this point want to say yes to everything. All the events, the appearances, the opportunities, and a sense of FOMO, fear of missing out, might attempt to overtake you. This is when it becomes important to step back and remember the I matter paradigm. This is your chance to become more discriminating in saying yes or no to the opportunities that come along. Chaotics will have no problem staying true to their vision. This will be the time when they can finally start all the up-leveling they've been wanting to do for a while. At this sub-stage, you've got a proven offer and a proven track record. You're also amassing a small, loyal following who knows a bit about you, likes you, and trusts you enough to start recommending you to their friends and colleagues. This is where it makes sense to do some preliminary investing in branding and website development that aligns with the message you've been spreading for the past 2 years. You should also have enough positive cash flow to afford that kind of investment at this point. If not, belay that order until you've got a bit more stability under your belt. Things might even start to feel kind of fun at this point. Money is coming in faster than you can spend it, and you've got enough clients to keep you in the black without stress or worry. Welcome to the second stage of business growth. Fun! Beyond year three. At this point, you've moved beyond early struggle. You've got a profitable, sustainable business doing what you love, and frankly, things feel good. That's why we call it fun. As your business grows during fun, your income outpaces your expenses. Now's a great time to do some infrastructure investment, like hiring key team members to support your vision or buying necessary equipment to create efficiency in your workflow. It's also a good time to establish or increase your savings for the future if you haven't already. Saving for anything in early struggle seems like a joke, so it's understandable if you haven't even considered the notion before now. However, as cash flow increases, it's not long before expenses rise to meet income. We'll talk more about the money stuff shortly, but for now, recognize that money won't always flow like a mighty river, so it's better to store up your treasure now than to be scrambling later. Whitewater. At nearly 30 miles, 48 kilometers per hour, the Whirlpool Rapids at the base of Niagara Falls qualify as a Class 6 whitewater rapids, some of the most extreme and dangerous in the world. You can tool down to Whitewater Walk on foot and traverse the boardwalk to the river's edge, where viewing platforms give you an up-close and personal look at the power and peril in these rapids. The thundering roar of the river gives a small glimpse into what are typically considered extreme or unrunnable rapids, where even the most seasoned pros dare not tread. The waves are high, the churn is unbelievable, and adrenaline isn't the only thing pumping at this point. Provided you can survive the thrashing and gnashing against the rocks, you still got to navigate yourself safely to shore once you're out of the churn and headed toward the whirlpool. That's what whitewater in your business can feel like too. Everything was fun when you were in fun, and now, not so much. In fact, things have gotten downright hard, bumpy, and choppy. Maybe even a bit hazardous to your health, depending on how long you've been in whitewater. One creative I know had been bumping around in whitewater for several years when I met him. His business had grown quickly, and he brought on a few key team members to help scale the business so that he wasn't the only one doing all the work. He also brought on some support staff, and over time, the business income plateaued. Fixed expenses had increased to meet or exceed current income, and he wasn't profitable anymore. The problem, however, wasn't so much in his expenses as it was in the way he'd set up the business. As a chaotic creative, he designed the business so that everything had to pass through his fingers for final approval. That made him the bottleneck in his business. It also meant that the business couldn't grow any faster than he could put out fires, regardless of how many new people he brought into the company. Whitewater happens when a business grows in complexity, but the systems and processes haven't evolved to support the changes. For example, you've been manually sending out an email once a week to a master email list you created in a spreadsheet, but now you're getting unsubscribe requests faster than you can handle them, and you're starting to get flagged as a spammer. As your audience grows, you can't manage that stuff manually, and it makes sense to have an automated system that handles that for you. Don't laugh. I know many musicians who build their mailing lists this very way. They put out a piece of paper at every gig and tell folks to sign up for their mailing list. And as the list grows, they never think of doing anything differently. Hey, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, right? Well, in Whitewater, things that have sort of been working suddenly break, and it's past time to fix them. Whitewater is also the place where you as the business owner need to make a decision. If you're content to not have an international audience and you have no desire to scale up your enterprise, it's appropriate for you to scale back and keep things in fun. That way, you don't have a bunch of systems and processes calling the shots and keeping you chained to that business as you navigate Whitewater. On the other hand, if you do want to scale up and create leveraged growth in your business, it's time to buck up and do the work to build appropriate systems and processes to support the exponential growth of your business and move into predictable success. For this reason, Whitewater is not so much a stage of growth as it is a turning point in the life cycle of your business. Do you keep things fun, or do you grow even more? For all but the most celebrity-minded chaotics, fun is where it's at. Not too much structure, but just enough to keep things running smoothly. Enough creative control over your projects balanced with the right amount of team support so that you're not on the hamster wheel of hustle all the time. Fusion creatives might opt to stay in fun if they're itching to launch something new. Fun is a great place to be if you want to transition to something else because there's plenty of cash flow to prop up the new venture until it has legs of its own. It's not uncommon to see a fusion creative launch a successful business venture every few years and have multiple projects cooking at the same time. This is only a downfall when they try to launch them all at once, for as we've previously discussed, you need to focus on one thing for several years to give it a fighting chance. Linears are growth focused, and scalability is a numbers game to them. The logic then is to see how quickly they can grow big by staying within the confines of their numbers. The rare exception to this is the linear that has a high need for safety and security. In this case, fun becomes an acceptable settling point because anything more brings too much risk into the equation for their comfort. Their line of thought is, I have everything I need. Why risk it? Is it Whitewater or early struggle again? I've had several clients who've come to me when their previously successful businesses have hit a wall. They regale me with their stories of how they used to make 6+ figures each year, but now they're struggling to bring in mid-5s. I'm in Whitewater, they tell me. Nope. You're in early struggle. Again, I reply. One look at their business model shows the problem. They made a shift in their business, either a pivot to a new audience or a change in message, and they've basically had to start all over again from year 0 to 1, despite the financial success they've had in the past. If there's been no pivot and their business has hit a plateau that seems to be draining the life out of the business, then it's more likely to be Whitewater. Remember, the complexity is the key. When emails get misplaced, team members don't know who has responsibility for a task, so it gets dropped. That's a clear sign that the business systems haven't caught up with the complexity of the business. If you've just scaled back because income isn't what it once was, then it's not Whitewater. You just haven't found a profitable, sustainable market for your offer with the current configuration of your business. Chaotics are most likely to confuse the two stages, especially if they're operating from the mindset of, I should already be there by now. They've set themselves up to expect more from their business than it's currently able to provide. Assuming you're managing to sell something, your focus needs to be on market clarity so that you can get momentum. That means finding the right platforms to present your offers to the right audience. We'll go deeper on that topic in an upcoming chapter. Exit strategies. Again, since the purpose of this book is to launch creative entrepreneurs into fun, we're not talking about exit strategies, either transferring, selling, or closing your business. I'm making the assumption for our purposes here that you want to keep doing what you love and making good money doing it for as long as you can. Be advised that at some point you'll reach a place where you're done, and before that time comes, you'll want to have a vision for how you want to end things. Stephen Covey said, begin with the end in mind, and the I Matter paradigm can help inform that. If you're building a legacy company, start thinking now, in your early years, how you want things to look in the final picture. Then, reach out to the necessary professionals to set up the structures you need, legal, financial, etc., to ensure that future can come to pass. For our purposes, however, we're not going to dig too deeply into that rabbit hole. Growth plans for each stage. Each stage of business growth requires a different kind of growth plan. We'll cover them in detail in the next chapter so that you know what's right for where you are now. Armed with knowledge about your current growth stage and the growth plan that's right for that stage, we can begin to tailor a business model that works for your unique situation. Your assignment. Identify which stage of growth your business is at. Be honest. If you've had a successful six-figure income and then made a pivot in your business that's caused your income to tank, you're not in Whitewater. you're in one of the sub-stages of early struggle. Celebrate your truth, because your truth will set you free.